Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Hubble Happy Hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Vegas to Valdosta, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey. Are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
So glad you're with us on a Target Demo Friday. Big show coming up for you this morning. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. We are all over the football weekend this morning. Our friend Brian Jones from the SEC on CBS will help us look at the college football weekend and specifically Georgia-Alabama, two top three teams. The Crimson Tide are number two. The Bulldogs are number three. This is a Saturday night game on CBS. And this week has been a very abnormal one for Bama and Nick Saban after he's tested positive for COVID. So what does this mean for the game tomorrow night? Brian Jones, one of our favorite guys, used to be a co-host in this slot, is going to join us here on the show coming up in hour number three. Also, speaking of football, NFL picks and your food of the week with Mraz's Up the Gut segment. Super Dave is challenging Mraz this year in the college football versus NFL picks. Super Dave will join us coming up next hour here on the show. Also, we've got a big one in the AFC North where the Browns are trying to crash the party that's been held down by the Steelers and the Ravens. Browns and Steelers on Sunday. We'll preview that one. In baseball, the Astros trying to flip the series last night, plus your normal array of ridiculousness. But remember, Target Demo Friday means we want to know what you guys are doing as you listen to the show and how you're listening. We'll collect those from you guys on Twitter and Facebook and then read through them coming up at the end of the show. But we begin with Le'Veon Bell, where he has found his new home. Le'Veon had plenty of suitors despite being a malcontent in New York. And the suitor that he decided on is perhaps the best team in football. Despite the loss against the Raiders last week, the Kansas City Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champions and are 4-1 on the season. And now an offense with one of the most dynamic play-calling minds ever and already one of the most explosive arms ever and a team of wide receivers that are incredible and one of the best pass-catching tight ends ever has added a Pro Bowl running back at 28 years old. Where is Le'Veon Bell in his career? How will they use the Chiefs? And does he make Kansas City unstoppable? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
It's no secret coming out of New York. There's been talk about friction between Lev Bell and Adam Gase in terms of how Le'Veon was used. With Andy Reid, one thing we know about him, he knows offense and he knows how to put his players in positions to succeed. He will do that with Lev.
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and you know, we'll see what happens.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That voice you heard was Jim Trotter on NFL Network, and that was Adam Gase being asked about whether he thought Le'Veon Bell would get another chance, and he simply says, we'll see what happens. I said this before, I'm not backtracking simply because of the destination. Had Le'Veon Bell landed with the Jaguars, I'd have to say the same thing. Le'Veon Bell's not Le'Veon Bell of 5 years ago. Le'Veon Bell is not Le'Veon Bell of 3 years ago. He has taken a year off. He then came back with the Jets, and last year was largely mediocre, and this year has been completely unproductive. The idea that at 20 years old, you're going to zoom back the clock to 24, 25, when he was remarkably productive, is something that I don't think is going to happen. Plus, the Chiefs don't need him to do that. They've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's a rookie, who's obviously got fresh legs, has been very good for them. So I don't believe, no matter where Le'Veon Bell went, you were going to get the Le'Veon Bell of his prime in Pittsburgh. And I also think that the way Bell handled his time in New York was the sign of a guy that can go into the tank quickly. I did not like the way that he handled himself, certainly this year. And at the end of the Pittsburgh reign, that was a headache as well, if you remember. Is he going to come back? Is he going to sit out? What is he going to dress? And even his Pittsburgh teammates were sick of it. But I'll say this. If there was a match made in heaven for Bell, it's this one. Because he doesn't have to be the feature back because they've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Also, they'll probably largely use him on the goal line. So you're going to see Bell probably vulture a lot of touchdowns after Edwards-Helaire does a lot of the heavy work, the grunt work, between the 20s and up until the red zone. Because that's the one hole the Chiefs have had on the ground. They've not been good at the goal line. They've not been good in short yardage situations at the goal line. Edwards-Helaire has been phenomenal in between the 20s, but when the defense has crunched up to the goal line, when the defense has all stacked the line, Edwards-Helaire has not been the power back that they have needed to get into the end zone. Really, they don't have a lot of rushing touchdowns, one from Tyreek Hill, one from Patrick Mahomes, and I think one from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that's where Le'Veon Bell fits. And thus, you're going to see a production from an end zone standpoint where I think that's going to be a big deal, and it'll look like Le'Veon Bell is scoring a lot of points, scoring a lot of touchdowns, being really productive. Certainly also Le'Veon Bell can be used out of the backfield where Reed and Mahomes and that offense has been so good with their running backs. So incredibly good. But they have actually been looking for a second head, a second body at the ground position, at the running back position since the offseason when Damian Williams opted out. So this fits for the Chiefs because they have a need, and it fits for Bell because you know Reed's going to put you in a position with space or a position to succeed, and you're only one of a number of weapons. So frankly, this is great for both sides, and it gives Bell a chance, as you might imagine, to stick his thumb in the eye of Adam Gase because he's going to be winning football games whether he does anything or not, and Adam Gase won't be because the Jets are a dumpster fire. So Bell gets his revenge. He'll probably be pretty productive. The Chiefs don't have to get him at some type of 2017 level, and he gets to shove it right in the face of Adam Gase. This is a win all around, I think, because the Chiefs don't need him to do everything, because the Chiefs are already a machine without him. I think for the Kansas City Chiefs, he only makes them more dynamic. And they were already close to unstoppable with him. I think that Le'Veon Bell only makes them even more dangerous. The rich get richer here for the Chiefs. And can you believe that an offense that has Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire now adds Lev Bell? Also, I mean, throw in Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and you're just talking about a series of weapons that more gadgets, more toys for Reed to have. This is one of those things where the Chiefs were already the favorites of the AFC, and this makes them even stronger. The only downside to me that I see is if for some reason Bell's ego doesn't allow him to just appreciate and accept that other guys are going to get a lot of touches. You know, he might get the same limited touches he got in New York. It's just going to be on a winning team and probably closer to the goal line, so more touchdowns, and you're part of a weaponry. You're part of an arsenal. That's the thing. I don't think that Le'Veon Bell's numbers, I mean, straight numbers, will be any better than you saw in New York with the Jets. I mean, in terms of carries and yards per game, and you're just not going to see much more than that. They don't need him for more than that. The difference is he'll be part of a better culture because they're winning, B, part of winning so he'll be happier, and C, with a head coach that if there's a way to use him, Reed will find the way to use him. So now it's just up to Le'Veon Bell to be happier there than he was in New York, which feels inevitable. Feels like that's a no-brainer, although it is Bell we're talking about, who has made some very head-scratching decisions over the last 3 years. The Chiefs add Bell. Watch out, AFC. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We got plenty of Chiefs fans that listen to the show. Where are you guys at with the Le'Veon Bell signing? Mraz, is there any downside for the Chiefs to add Bell to the roster?
None whatsoever, and I think you brought up a good point. Even if he has a lack of touches, I think the problem in New York is he knows Adam Gase didn't want to use him, and if you're not being used and the team is awful and you feel like the team doesn't have to be as awful if you're contributing, I think that's got to be a big mental struggle for him. But if the team is winning and the offense is scoring 30-something points a game and you're getting your couple touches a game, I mean, how could you sit there on the sideline and have that same mentality that maybe your lack of touches is hurting the team? I think if you feel like what you're doing and those touches then are resulting in wins or offensive scoring drives, I think it's way different. Also, it should be noted that the one thing that the Chiefs have kind of shown their warts on the last couple of weeks has been Clyde Edwards-Helaire's pass protection. Mahomes getting hit a little bit more as a rookie. Maybe it's becoming a little overwhelming, maybe a little too much. This will allow Clyde Edwards-Helaire to take a step back, breathe a little bit, because Le'Veon Bell is also very good at pass protection. Third downs, can chip, can get out, catch those kind of passes. So don't sleep on that. As far as Mahomes was starting to take a few more hits, case in point, that Raider game, this will help the Chiefs offense immensely in that department as well.
If Bell commits to pass blocking, that would be huge. That would be absolutely huge for the Chiefs as an addition. I don't think there really would have been any type of role for him had Damian Williams not opted out of the season. Williams was so good in the Super Bowl and would be the perfect complementary back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But once he opted out, there ended up being a space on the roster and within the offense for Bell. And I got to imagine that's the primary reason that Reed wanted him and why Bell felt he would get some touches and why he felt he would have a role in the offense. I think there's other places he could have had more touches. I think there's other places he could have been more of a primary focus of the offense. So maybe that's also a good sign that Bell doesn't need that, because, you know, he was looking at a couple of other places where you would think not nearly the complement of weapons the Chiefs had, and he would be a more focal point of the attack. And he decided against it. My guess is he feels like winning is something that would be refreshing right now after these 2 years in New York. So I wonder if it's that plus knowing that winning gets to shove it in Adam Gase's face.
And they do play the Jets on November 1st, so he will get a taste to play Adam Gase in a couple weeks. And I do think there's just one more interesting part of this. If the 49ers hold that Super Bowl lead, I'm not sure the Chiefs are making this move today because Andy Reid would still be chasing the ghost of having not won a Super Bowl, and I'm not sure you take the chance that your locker room gets disrupted or anything like that. I think the fact that the Chiefs and Andy Reid have already now won a Super Bowl has completely changed the mindset on who they could plug into that roster and really not miss a beat because that hurdle of, hey, we are champions, we know we can execute, has been exercised already.
And he also, right, the Chiefs right now feel a little infallible. Like, if it doesn't work with Le'Veon Bell, who cares? We'll cut him. We're fine. We can win a Super Bowl without him. And they don't worry about culture stuff. They don't worry about bringing guys in that might ruin it because either they jettison him or their culture is so good, there's no way that, you know, even somebody can be disgruntled or unhappy because everybody's pitching in. I mean, there's a lot of guys in there that have better numbers other places because there's so many weapons. But because of the type of offense that they have, it's fun. I got to imagine, you know, a guy like Sammy Watkins thinks it's fun that Tyreek Hill gets all those touchdowns that might not be his or that Mecole Hardman might vulture some of his touchdowns because, hey, going 14-2 and playing with Patrick Mahomes and having a couple of games a year where you get 120 passing yards and two touchdowns is enough. So winning cures a lot of things, and I wonder if it'll be so for Bell. He's been a hard read for a long time in the NFL, but he opted in. He had choices, so we'll see if that's enough for him. The Chiefs get Le'Veon Bell. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the day. Some people felt as though A.J. Green was bitter in Cincinnati. He answers those questions coming up here next. And Dak Prescott speaks for the first time after the gruesome injury on Sunday. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Thanks for being with us on this fine Friday. Remember that full episodes are available in podcast form. So simply find your favorite podcast platform, search the DA Show, and subscribe. Full episodes or the best of automatically uploaded to your phone or your computer or your tablet to listen at your listening pleasure. Here is AJ Green. Last week, there was a damning play where after an interception thrown by Joe Burrow, A.J. Green not only didn't want to tackle the defensive back, but he actively ran the opposite direction. People wondering if A.J. Green is bitter about his contract situation in Cincinnati and may want to play elsewhere. Here is Green.
Yeah, of course. Why not? I think we're building something special here. And I just want to be a part of the team and help us win.
When A.J. Green says, yeah, of course, he was asked, would you prefer to stay in Cincinnati? Green, it's interesting. If he's smart, he does want to stay. If he's smart, he does want to make this the next however many years of a contract if the Bengals are willing to go there. Understandably, the Bengals might be very tepid on giving him much money because he's been so injury prone. The last 2 years, he's really been banged up. And last season specifically, he didn't even play. And the year before, he catches only 46 passes for less than 700 yards. So in terms of A.J. Green's production, he was outrageous. Every year, basically, from 2011 through 2017. Every year a Pro Bowler, almost every year a 1,000-yard receiver. And those years of the prime A.J. Green were as good as most any other wide receiver. And he never got the attention of Odell Beckham, never got the attention of Julio Jones, not even the attention of DeAndre Hopkins. But in terms of the most productive wide receivers of the game and the best, A.J. Green was right up there with those guys. He just played in a team that simply could not win a playoff game and played in Cincinnati, so he was just overlooked a lot. The issue is, right now, he's not that guy. He's not that guy that he once was. And if I'm A.J. Green at 32 years old, I'm trying to be on my best behavior in Cincinnati because now I've got a quarterback that I know is going to maximize my talent. I'm not 28 years old anymore. I'm not a 1,300-yard wide receiver. But I've got a quarterback that I know, if I'm on point, is going to get me the football, and they're going to win football games. That much is obvious with the Cincinnati Bengals. Burrow has already proven that he is better than most rookie quarterbacks that ever come into this league, and he is changing the culture there almost overnight. If I'm Green, I'm not getting a big deal anywhere else, because who wants a 32-year-old wide receiver that, you know, was so banged up the last couple of years? So if I'm Green, I'm not trying to shoot my way out of town with the Bengals. I'm saying this is where I've built a potential Hall of Fame career. Even if it's not a Hall of Fame career, it's an elite career. I'm going to be in this Ring of Honor one day. And let me finish my career here, because I think right now they're on the uptick, and I've got a quarterback that I know is going to find me if I'm open. I think it's crazy at this point for A.J. Green to try to go chase anything anywhere else. Dak Prescott went to Instagram to address the fans and the public for the first time since his injury on Sunday.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well. And I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers over the last few days. They've been more than overwhelming. From teammates to family to friends, to fans I don't know, to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference. In great spirits, headed to see the doctor, headed to see my leg for the first time post-surgery. So just ready to start this road to comeback. I know this little adversity is just going to be another chapter in the book.
It is great to hear Dak Prescott in good spirits. It is great to hear him optimistic. And I wish him nothing but the best, because Dak Prescott's been a model teammate. He's been a guy that has put in the work. He's been a guy that has won football games. He came from being a fourth-round draft pick. So he has earned everything that he has gotten. Everything. Nothing was handed to Dak Prescott. As I've said before, I thought earlier in the week it was wildly irresponsible for Jerry Jones to suggest that he was going to be back for spring practice. To me, if you are the Dallas Cowboys, you don't even let Dak Prescott think about playing in the spring. Maybe you allow him to, you know, try to use that as a carrot, as his goal. There is no reason for Dak Prescott to be on a football field or be looking at OTAs in March and mini camps in April and May. That to me is ridiculous. You don't even think about it until July in training camp if he's all the way back at that point in time. But I'm very happy that the surgery went well. I'm very happy that Dak is in good spirits. When you see him leaving the field on that cart and his tears are streaming over his face, that's just a really difficult thing to watch. Because these athletes, yeah, they're really well paid, and yes, they're celebrities, and they live a life that we would all like to live. But at the end of the day, their passions, their livelihoods are being taken away in that moment, in the blink of an eye. And you can see the emotion coming over their face. And that, to me, is where you're human. And you just go, man, I feel for that guy. I don't know that guy personally, but I can understand where his emotions are right now, and I feel for him. And finally, on a Target Demo Friday, a little reminder to let us know where you're at, how you're doing, and where you're watching, or where you're listening, rather. Where are you going to be watching tomorrow night's Bama-Georgia game? It's a huge one, number 2 versus number 3. And for Nick Saban, he's not going to be allowed, he won't be on the sideline tomorrow night as the Tide take on the Bulldogs. But how much communication will he have with Steve Sarkisian, who is going to be in his place on the sideline as the head caller and the not quite the head coach, but in Saban's place tomorrow night? Here is Nick Saban.
Well, you know, the autonomy part we haven't really decided yet, but in light of the fact that any coach could test positive, we try to have a protocol in place for, you know, if we lost a coach, especially one in a leadership position, who would, you know, step in for them. Obviously, Sark has been a head coach before. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out in terms of when the game comes, you know, whether communication with people or not. So we'll have to research and sort of figure that one out. But we did have a plan for each coach on the staff as to what might happen. And we just got to go from there. Just like if we lose a player, we have to do the same thing.
I'm always fascinated by situations like this where the great coaches are forced to improvise and kind of coach with one hand tied behind their back. When Bill Belichick lost Tom Brady week one of the 2008 season, what do? When the Patriots don't have Cam Newton, what do? When we see the greatest head coaches ever that are forced into abnormal situations, how do they react? Because they're so, so, so good. They're so supreme when they've got their full complement of weapons and they know exactly the predictability of a given week. But what happens when it's unpredictable? I love watching that. And this is going to be one of those puzzles to solve. We were discussing this yesterday about how much communication he'd be allowed to have with the press box, with the sideline. And we didn't know. And it sounds like Nick Saban and the SEC doesn't know yet. I knew that Nick Saban would have the plan of, if I'm out, this is what happens. If you're out, this is what happens. Here's how the roles shift. Here's how the roles change. Because he's so buttoned up and he's so detail-oriented and he's so ready for every situation. So no doubt he was going to be prepared. But can you be prepared for what happens tomorrow night if you don't even know the rules of engagement yet? And I would imagine the SEC allows Saban to have communication with his sideline. I would imagine. I know that there is a rule in the NFL where you can't do it. This is how the Browns got into trouble a couple of years ago when their general manager was texting their offensive coordinator in the box. I realize that in the NFL, there's very specific regulations around it. In this case, it's an SEC game, and Nick Saban rules the roost in the SEC. It's not his fault he got COVID, so is he going to be disallowed from communicating with anybody in the stadium? I highly doubt it. Does he have a direct line to Sarkisian on the sideline? Probably not. But a direct line to somebody, one of his assistant coaches in the box, that can get that message to Sarkisian, I would put money on yes. That game's going to be fascinating tomorrow night. And that is your sound check. It's an Ask the Pros kind of day, so you guys throw me a question at DA on CBS and be listening later on to the show, and we'll answer that question. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. The Chiefs land Le'Veon Bell. And here's my question tonight. Is there a downside? Le'Veon Bell has had a bad attitude in New York. Maybe it's just because of Adam Gase. Le'Veon Bell held out his final season, never played in Pittsburgh. That got his teammates frustrated. But the Chiefs don't need him to do anything and they'd still be fine. I'm asking you guys this morning on the phones, is there a downside for the Chiefs signing Le'Veon Bell? Hit me up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. I want to hear from you, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Standing by is a kind sir, Andrew Bogus. He has our first headline of the morning. Mr. Bogus, good morning. Where do we begin?
DA, good morning. Actually, let me begin with Nick Saban, because what I read last night was NCAA rules prohibit him, while he is still technically in quarantine, from talking to anybody on a game day during the game. And he's also not allowed to be at the stadium in any way. So they couldn't like make some kind of vapor locked press box suite for him to go into and coach from up there. If he is still technically in quarantine, he cannot be involved in any way with the game tomorrow. But if he tests negative three times in a row, including twice in 24 hours, he can leave quarantine. So if he tested negative yesterday and then today and then again tomorrow, he could theoretically be cleared to work tomorrow night. But if not, he can't do anything with that game tomorrow night.
I would understand him not being allowed to the stadium. So even from his office, he cannot have any communication with any of his coaches?
That's it's the fourth paragraph of ESPN's kind of Thursday Alabama update, and it says NCAA rules prohibit in-game communication with anyone on the staff while Saban is in quarantine, and he cannot travel to the stadium while in quarantine either.
I wonder, is that a quarantine rule, or is that just an overarching NCAA rules that you don't have just random Coach X that's outside of the game filtering information into the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's an NCAA rule that I think comes from making these guys, I think, first of all, maybe in a somewhat genuine way, like go home and get better, like not try to work through being sick, but also too,
like Hugh Freeze on a hospital gurney.
Exactly. But also too, I think there's the overriding kind of thought that, like, if you're at home, you have different information at your fingertips that you can't be relaying to the guys
right
in the stadium as well. So it's kind of an all-encompassing thing. If you're in quarantine, you're out, you can't participate in the game whatsoever.
Interesting. So I wonder if this was a quarantine rule instituted this year for this season, or if this was always an NCAA rule. I'm interested that Nick Saban also admitted yesterday he didn't know, because if it's an NCAA rule, he knows all of them. I wonder if he's trying to get some type of exception there. Seriously, you can't tell me that Nick Saban wasn't aware of an NCAA rule. So I wonder if he's trying to get an exception for tomorrow night. We'll see. So we got a lot going on this morning here on the show. Last night, two Major League Baseball playoff games. Le'Veon Bell signs. Where do we begin on the headlines?
Well, it's all sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. DA, it's almost like the Braves were listening yesterday when we kind of downplayed their offensive abilities.
Ozuna waiting for a 3-2 pitch. Here it comes. And there it goes on a line into the gap in left center field. Chasing it down as Bellinger keeps it off the warning track. Freeman is in. Ozuna goes to second. He's safe with a head first slide. It's 3-1 Braves.
That's Jim Powell on Braves Radio. Marcell Ozuna's RBI double knocked Clayton Kershaw out of game four of the NLCS in Arlington. Atlanta just starting a six-run six that sent them to a 10-2 win and a 3-1 series lead. Ozuna finished with four hits, two of which went over the fence, four RBI, three runs scored. Kershaw charged with four runs on seven hits over five-plus, outdueled by young Braves righty Bryce Wilson.
Once I got out there through the first pitch, you know, I felt, like you said, calm, cool, and collected. We were able to stick with the game plan, and that helped a lot. Didn't have to think too much, just execute pitches.
Last night was Wilson's first appearance since late September, just the eighth start of his career. He struck out five over six, allowing just an Edwin Rios solo homer in the third. The Rays and Astros, meanwhile, combined to use 11 pitchers in Game 5 of the ALCS. Tampa Bay righty Nick Anderson threw the last pitch, which Carlos Correa crushed over the center field fence for another season-saving win for Houston. This one 4-3 over the Rays, forcing Game 6 at 3 Pacific today. Astros manager Dusty Baker.
We get to play, you know, another day. And, you know, I mean, we're one step closer to being, you know, getting over that mountain and that hurdle that was it seemed like it was way off in the distance a couple days ago.
The Astros are just the fourth team out of 38 to fall behind 0-3 and reach Game 6. Only those 2004 Red Sox, which we were so kindly reminded of yesterday by Connor Green, even got to a Game 7. As DA has already told you, the Chiefs win the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. He has to go through 5 days of COVID testing, so the soonest he could be on the field in KC is Wednesday's practice. Bucks wideout Chris Godwin and his hamstring with their second consecutive limited practice yesterday. Jags wideout DJ Shark hasn't practiced yet this week because of an ankle injury. Ty Lue is the Clippers' new head coach, reportedly agreeing to a 5-year contract yesterday afternoon. Lue is Doc Rivers' assistant this past season. Daryl Morey stepping down as Rockets GM after 13 seasons. Effective November 1st, Morey is sticking around to help Houston finish its coaching search, which used to include Lue. Jeff Van Gundy reportedly spoke with the team for the last 2 days, and John Lucas said to have a real chance at the job because of his relationship with Harden and Westbrook. That's John Lucas, who hasn't been a head coach since 2003 with the Cavaliers. DA, back to you.
Thanks, Bogues. Jerry in Fort Walton sends along an interesting link from Tide 100.9, and this has the 2020 NCAA football play interpretations, which is very specific, that there is very specific regulations around the use of technology and people not at the stadium. And according to this piece, no outside technology is allowed to be used to communicate with players or coaches from before the game until the game is over. So Saban will not be allowed to have communication into the press box, sidelines, or locker room if he's not at the stadium. But the piece also says Saban will have to come up with an alternative way to communicate with his team on game day that meets NCAA rules, which is why Saban is being very vague about this. So all of this is really, really vague, which means I suppose he can send a passenger pigeon from his office and that it gets into the stadium, or he sends smoke signals, or this is very, very interesting. Can he find a communication way that is not used electronically or defined electronically to be coaching Saturday's game?
I think I got it.
Okay.
He's got to record a video in a commercial break, send it over to the game ops person, and have it blare on the Jumbotron right in front of both teams. Hey, guys, love the effort today. This is what we need to do. Everybody sees it, including Georgia. Can't violate any rules, and he's directly speaking to the team.
I just want to let you guys know I'm proud of you. Go get them, guys. Roll Tide, and the left tackle needs to push out just one step farther on that trap play. Roll Tide!
Can you imagine, though, if he can't figure something out, the hissy fit he will have through 4 hours of that game tomorrow night? Like, that's a camera on him in his living room, helpless through that kind of big game.
Yeah, because it's not Arkansas. It's not Vanderbilt. It is number three Georgia that you're trying to beat tomorrow night. It's the game on CBS in prime time. When we come back, this date in mothership history, me versus an angry Mraz over breakfast. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back 2 years ago, where on October the 16th, Mraz was very upset because I didn't pay for breakfast. Roll tape!
He orders a lunch. Yeah. You order a breakfast.
Yeah.
I run downstairs with $20, hand it to the guy. 24 hours later, I mean, I'm not eating and I'm paying for everybody's food around this place now. What the heck is going on? Listen, I would have been fine to buy you guys breakfast. I really, but just ask. Nobody asked. And now I'm out on it. It's unbelievable, you know, you guys.
You're pathetic.
I didn't get money. I would have given it to you. You don't have to save it for Trash Tuesday jump out of the bushes on me.
That's not what happened.
So now I know I have to give you the money.
No, I mean, it's up to you whether you want to or not. But here we are on Trash Tuesday.
Yeah, now it's up to me. I offered to buy breakfast. I got a breakfast burrito. Bilotti orders the sandwich, puts it away for later. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay. No, he used you for a meal knowing he had already eaten breakfast. It was wrong by Pete.
And it's not surprising.
Bad guy.
First off, I actually ate the breakfast an hour later in the show. So
No, he didn't.
Yes, I did.
He's a liar. Camera rolling on the stream. He's a liar. Pete's a liar. Pete is a liar. He ate it after the show. You didn't offer to buy lunch. He's a liar. You all stiffed me on $20. This whole food
thing. You got your $20. I wasn't involved in this.
And you'll get your $20. Pete, are you sure? Because Mraz says you're a liar.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're going to believe him?
No. I believe you because you're a man of integrity and you're a man of your word.
Yes. He's not, though, but okay.
You weren't even in the studio. Why are we asking you, Bogus?
We learned he's the buffet bandit, though. Exactly. So who could trust this guy?
Yeah.
Sean, you'll be working every day off of the
question. He already is.
This was one of the more outrageous arguments that we've had in a debate that still rages 2 years later. I don't know how we transitioned between these two. So I said I was going to buy breakfast. You went down to get breakfast. I didn't pay you back. And then you jumped me on Trash Tuesday?
Yes, because it ended up being I had already ate. First time I ever said no to a meal in my life. And Bogus didn't get to you. Ended up only buying breakfast for you and Pete. And then,
okay, so I hadn't paid you back yet. So you had paid for me and Bilotti's breakfast.
Right. Because I am a man of integrity. Had I, even if you offered to pay, ordered something, I would have at least in the mindset felt like, you know what, I still had food, so whatever, I paid for everybody's breakfast. But it was the idea that I paid for you and Pete to eat when I didn't eat, and instead of just confronting you like a man, I blindsided you to our listeners on Trash Tuesday.
Also, I mean, how many times have I bought you breakfast? I mean, just like throughout years.
No, I owe you a few meals.
I would say over the years, I think I'm still like plus 92 on breakfasts or so.
Well, and if I pay, it's DA money anyway. So it's
at this point, no doubt. No doubt. It's got my face in Ben Franklin's area. So then this still, though, is something that is a controversy 2 years later. As we're playing the clip, Mraz, you're squirming in your chair.
Because he blatantly lied. He didn't eat the meal an hour later at the office. He just pulled that literally from behind him and threw it out there in a panic. He took the sandwich home. We saw him head out, waving to the fans as he headed to the subway. He had the sandwich in his bag, and because he was in a state of panic and knew he was had, he just blurts out, well, you're a liar because I ate it an hour later. No, you didn't. We all saw you not eat it.
So this comes from, I offered to buy breakfast. Mraz had already eaten. I don't know where Bogish was that day. Maybe he had already eaten. So it's just me and Pete. I say, Pete, do you want breakfast? Pete says, yes. I get a breakfast burrito. Pete gets something. And then Mraz claims, I didn't see this, but Mraz claims Pete never ate the breakfast and brought it home.
Yeah, and ordered lunch.
And we felt as though if that was true, it's a faux pas, because if I offer to buy breakfast, you can't take what I ordered you and bring it home for a different meal.
He went through the whole breakfast menu and said, you know what, I'm going to get lunch for later. Like, that's not the offer. The offer was, you want breakfast during the show. It's not, I'm going to buy your groceries for the day.
So
there's so much in that clip. So, there's so many Easter eggs in there.
So I say, well, Pete's a man of integrity. I would believe Pete. And Bogish comes in with, no, he's not. Which is about a chop block.
Yeah, well, Sean mentioned it. That led me to tell the story of before the DA show being in the morning, where we used to go for lunch. And we go to a place where it was a hot buffet, and you paid by the weight of your container. And Pete used to leave a portion of the container off the scale, so it weighed less.
Not my fault.
So he paid less.
I put it on the scale like they asked. They got to do their job.
So Pete still claims that he ate at the studio, right? Pete, you still claim that you ate it there.
I ate that 2 years ago, but I ate that sandwich.
See?
At the studio.
Yeah. See, he left two outs there. Pete, just admit, like, it's okay to laugh now.
What's the out? He didn't leave it out. He said two years ago, I ate the sandwich.
He started with, I ate that 2 years ago, as if I don't remember. And then he said, I ate the sandwich.
All right,
definitely
Columbo.
Ate the sandwich. And then by the third, he went in about five Mississippis to tell you at the studio.
You
didn't eat at the studio. You were wrong for getting a lunch sandwich, and even worse that you didn't eat it in the studio. It was terrible. Like, that is, it's a disgrace. And the fact that 2 years later you're going to sink to a lie like this is unbelievable.
You're a disgrace, just in general. Look at your weekend. That's all you need to say.
Also, Pete threatens Mraz in the clip of having to work every holiday for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Well, you might have to do it anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, it is an interesting question. If somebody offers to buy you breakfast or buy you a meal, are you mandated to an unspoken contract to have to eat the meal with them?
Yes.
Or can you take that home because you're not hungry at that moment? Like, would Pete be okay if he ate half of it in the studio?
I mean, if he got full and wanted to take home, that's fine because it's one sandwich, I guess. But he's got to start eating this. You didn't say, hey, I'm going to get breakfast, Pete. You want me to buy you and Bridget dinner? Like, that's not like the ask. The ask is, I'm going to eat breakfast here. Do you want to eat some breakfast with me? I'll buy it.
Thanks for the clarification.
Bogues, where is the line on this?
I think that is the line. I think it's okay that he ordered lunch at whatever time of the morning it was because he'd already had his breakfast, but he had to eat half of the sandwich there. Taking the rest home, that would have been okay, but holding it for later altogether is where he got into some trouble.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. When we come back, the Astros may have flipped the series.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.